Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Bless and sanctify their hearts in the name of Jesus Christ. And at the end of this meeting, everyone will be blessed in Jesus' name. Now, I want us to say a word of prayer for each other, and let's pray that the Lord will sanctify our hearts in the name of Jesus. Pray for yourself and receive grace. Receive grace to be able to come into a level of understanding, a level of understanding by the Spirit of God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ and receive grace for every heart. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. So we are live on Facebook, and I want to encourage you to please go to our Facebook page and to my Facebook page and share this broadcast so that we can get a lot of people on this journey, okay? So this evening, I'm going to be sharing something that I've tried to do for a long time, and I couldn't really get quite around it. But today, I'm going to push that button. So if you are there, please pick your notes and your pencil or your pen, and I need you to take a few notes. So I call this the Taking Heed series. The Taking Heed series. Now, if you are on Mixlr, I need you to please type something. Let me know if you can hear me clearly. Okay. Let me know you can hear me clearly if you are on Mixlr, and okay, so I don't want to lose anybody here. Okay, so this is the part one of this particular exhortation. So please stay with me, and as we get into the meat of the word. Okay, so the first thing I want to say here is that there were, throughout Scripture, there were a number of times that warnings were given, or cautions we are given. And when the Lord Jesus came, he also made a lot of reference to these particular matters. You know, they are like cautions, they are like warnings. And you see, the way God works is that God does not, God gives us everything that we need that makes for our peace. For instance, if a person is born again, washed by the blood of Jesus, but has a knowledge gap when it comes to the righteousness of God, that believer will continue to go for deliverance. Please, I want you to hear me now. If a person is born again, even for 20 years, but you don't understand what the Scripture says about righteousness, you will continue to believe that you are having spiritual husband or you are under a curse. Some of the things that we worry about and we actually pray and fast about, they are things that are actually avoidable if we were properly taught when we became Christians. So it's good to preach. But most importantly, it is better to teach. Because when you teach somebody, you empower that person. Does this mean that we do not have spiritual battles? No. But when you have the right tools, the right weapons, you know, Paul was teaching us about the weapons of our warfare, you will be able to address those issues properly. If, for instance, you have a challenge in a particular area, you can decide to wait on the Lord, you can decide to fast and pray, and you deal with the issue completely. One of the ways you know you have a knowledge gap is if you are still praying the same prayer for 10 years, 15 years. It means you don't know something. That thing may not be that particular situation may not be a prayer problem. It may be a knowledge problem. So today we want to quickly look at a number of things that Jesus told us about, our Lord Jesus. And we are going to even look at a few things that other parts of scriptures spoke about in relation to taking heed. Now, the first, please, as I read these scriptures, for every point I give you today, I'm going to give you a scripture. So I want you to please write down Matthew chapter 24 and verse 4. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 4. I'm reading from King James Version. Now, look at what Jesus said. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceives you. Now, our Lord Jesus here was speaking to his disciples, and he was saying to them that, look, one of the greatest weapons or tools that you can master as a believer, and please, I'm putting tools in your hands here, is that you must be careful. The devil knows he may not be able to take away your salvation, but if he can deceive you, if the devil can deceive you, listen to me, everything we are going through today in the world is simply because a woman was deceived. The problem with being deceived is that you don't know the total outcome of that initial deception. You only know what you did, but what that thing will give birth to, you may not know. And Jesus was saying to us that the devil knows you are my disciples. The devil knows that everybody around knows that you belong to me. They may not be able to take away your faith from you, but if they can deceive you, you will be useless. So this is the first thing I want to share with you. Our Lord Jesus says we are to take heed that no man deceives us. Now, did you notice that Jesus did not say, take heed lest Satan deceive you? Jesus did not, in this particular quotation, said that be careful lest any man deceive you. And the next verse, he began to talk about many will come in my name saying I am the Christ, and we deceive many. And Jesus actually told us that this Antichrist spirit will succeed. Let me tell you something. One of the reasons why the Antichrist spirit will succeed is because we have a generation that places a huge premium on manifestations above the word of God. Do we need manifestations of the spirit? Yes. Do you need the word of God? You need that even more. Please, I want you to note this down. And when I progress, you will understand a few things. God was saying that even if you are born again and you sleep inside the church, when the Antichrist comes, you will not easily know he's the one. So he says, don't be too quick to accept something simply because it is working. So this is the first thing I want to share with you. Our Lord Jesus said, we have a responsibility that we are not deceived. Don't say, oh, my friend deceived me. Oh, don't say my pastor deceived me. God said, I expect you to stay with me close enough so that you can get guidance and that you are not deceived. So not to be deceived depends on you. That's what the Lord is saying. Say, take heed that no man deceives you. Hallelujah. Now, let me go to Mark chapter 4 and verse 24. Mark chapter 4 and verse 24. Now, look at what, if I read from verse 23, our Lord Jesus said, if any man has ears, let him hear. Look at the next thing he said in verse 24.
And he said to them, take heed what you hear. For with the measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear, more shall be given. Please look at that scripture very carefully. Our Lord Jesus first said, take heed what you hear. That means that as a believer, you have the responsibility to process the information you allow into your spirit. Some of the things we say, we don't know how this thing happened. And we see, it's because we are not really thinking deeply. The Lord said here that with the measure you meet, it will be measured back to you. That means that Jesus was drawing a correlation between what I choose to hear and what I am able to allocate to others. That means that my life will never be better than what I hear every day. Oh, come on. Is somebody hearing me now? If you heard that one, just type something. Listen to me. What Joy is saying here. He said, take it what you hear. That means I have a responsibility to choose what I allow my spirit to receive. Okay? I was speaking to somebody and I said, why do you keep allowing false prophets keep talking? She said, they always look for me. I said, so why don't you shut your door? She said, they come to my house and they keep seeing visions for me. She's paying bitterly for it now. You have to be careful. Choose what you allow into your spirit. You see, your ears are one of the gates into your soul. You have the eye gate, you have the ear gate, you have so many gates in your body. And all these gates are able to transmit information at any level. So the issue is not the ears. The issue is what you allow. And God is saying that if we take a deliberate decision to sift through carefully what we allow into our spirits, we'll be living a victorious life. Now, see what I'm saying to you now. There are people that are not going to listen to what I'm saying now. Then they want a prayer magic to happen. These are some of the quiet things that Satan does not want you to know. So that you will keep fasting and praying. And anytime you get a small breakthrough, you will be happy. But why can't you continue to have a life of breakthrough? Jesus said, if you obey me and choose carefully what you allow to hear. Let me give an example. If you are in the office and somebody is trying to speak negatively about your colleague, what this scripture means is that you must not allow yourself. Come on now. You must not allow yourself to sit in such a place where somebody is saying something terrible about another person. Because what Jesus said is that the moment you allow that particular information into your spirit, you will definitely have a response. You were not the one that was offended. Somebody only told you something that happened. And Jesus began to attach what you allow into your spirit, and it tied it directly to what is being measured to us. That means that what I allow into my spirit can affect my harvest. Jesus said, for with what measure you meet, it shall be measured back to you. And unto you that hear, more shall be given. Now, let me give you another point here, is that in the latter part of that verse, is that there are people that don't hear God's voice regularly. And that's because they do not choose to hear him wisely. Let me repeat. There are people that do not hear God often. They go and fast, they pray. But they say they don't know what God is saying. But look at what Jesus said in the last verse, in the last part of that verse. In Mark chapter 4 verse 24. He said, unto you that hear, more shall be given. That means if I decide to hear the voice of God regularly and every time, God will give me more grace. He will allocate grace to me to be able to hear him more. If I refrain from hearing God's voice and I open up my spirit to hearing other things, that thing that I'm hearing will be amplified. That's what it means. So before you say, Pastor, I prayed, I didn't hear God, what have you permitted into your ear space your ear space. Jesus gave us a very clear instruction, and this is not a suggestion. Some of you wonder why Jesus will go and he will go to the mountain, he will pray, come back, and his robe is raging with the anointing. There are certain rules that Jesus put around himself, and these are the things he's telling us. There is nothing Jesus is saying to us that he is not practicing. There's nothing. So please, I want you to, I've said two things already, and I want you to please note them. I'm not going to finish this message today. At any level I get to, you just go back and listen again. This message is going to be online. There are many people that should be in this meeting now, and they are not here. You cannot have a successful prayer life without a successful word life. I'm telling you, there are people that I pray for, and I know they are only courtesy prayers. I know God will not hear. Because if you do not choose to hear the word of God, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing. Your faith cannot be productive. If all you spend your time hearing are things that don't help your faith, if, for instance, all you see are enemies and demons and problems, you will dream about it. People will talk to you about it. So it's just the way it is. And God has told us in his word. He said, whatever you hear, you will be giving more grace for it. Now, look at something else Jesus said in Luke chapter 8 and verse 18. That's the third point, the third scripture. Luke chapter 8 and verse 18. Now, when we are done, this message is going to be on Facebook. We are already live on Facebook. You can go to Facebook and please share. Because there are a lot of people that are wondering why the devil is on top of their matter. I'm trying to help them here now. I'm trying to help them. Luke chapter 8 and verse 18. Look at what Jesus said. Everything I'm saying now is just what Jesus said. You know, like I recommend to you, you should try and just take the Bible and read. Just read. You will learn a lot by just reading. Luke chapter 8 and verse 18. Take it therefore how you hear. Look at what Jesus said. This is a related scripture to the second one that I read to you. Take heed therefore how you hear. For whosoever hath, that means that whatever you have, if you hear another information, are you with me? If you get another information that is against that thing you have received in your spirit, it will be taken away. These are the things that happen to people, and they wonder why they got their miracle and then they got to the house, they didn't find it anymore. He said, take it how you hear. He said, for whatsoever heart. That means that when you are hearing, there is a spiritual transaction going on. That's the meaning. Whenever a person is hearing something, there is something being transferred. Look at what Jesus said. He said, for whosoever heart. The moment he talked about hearing, the next thing he talked about was having. That means when somebody is trying to sell me an idea, something is being transmitted into my soul. Something is being transmitted into my spirit. That's why you can listen to some of these secular songs and wayward songs and you suddenly become very wild. You start feeling very wild. And you feel like doing something terrible. You know, you feel like going out there, going to the club, because you've allowed your ears to process a particular type of information. So that information gave you something. Jesus attached having to hearing. Jesus attached having to hearing. Jesus attached having to hearing. He said, take heed therefore how you hear. How you hear. Everybody is hearing, but how are you hearing? Are you hearing with a critical spirit? Are you hearing with an open mind? Somebody is trying to talk to you. You don't even know what the person is going to say. You already assumed you knew. And the person was going to say something else. Take heed how you hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seems to have. So this is the word of the Lord. Now, if you are getting blessed, say something. Because this kind of message, you won't get a lot of hallelujah and a lot of praise God. But if you are getting blessed, just type something. Now, let me go to Luke 11, 34 and 35. Luke 11, 34 and 35. Luke 11, 34 and 35. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is single, When your eye is single, your whole body is full of light. But when your eye is evil, your body is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore. Now, this is the lesson. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in you be not darkness. So what is Jesus talking about here? God is saying that, number one, if your eye is single, which means that if your eye is evil, which also means to be double-minded. And James spoke about this. He said a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, not just one. They may speak in tongues, but they are unstable. They may laugh, but they are unstable. They may be happy, but they are unstable. They may be excited, but they are unstable. As long as your faith does not trickle down to one thing. Jesus said one thing is needful. Jesus said, the Spirit of God said through James, he said, let not that man, let not that woman, let not that child, let not that young lady, let not that young man think. Don't even imagine it. It will not happen. That he shall receive anything of the Lord. If a brother goes to the church and prays, God, give me a wife. Give me a wife. Lord, I want to marry this year. Then he goes back to his friend's house. We believe that the way he's praying, because he prayed for 3 hours. And he even did a vigil. By the time he got back home, he went to visit his friend. And his friend is saying, can you believe there are no good ladies anymore? And then he said, yeah. You don't even know who to trust anymore. All of them are the same. God says, let not that man. Forget about the vigil you did. Forget about whatever it is that you attempted. Let not that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord. Many people want God to become emotional, and God has refused to be emotional. He has given us the word of God to be our guide. He has given us the word of God to be our standard. So if you cannot open the scriptures and read, there are certain things that fall into the purview of prayer. There are certain things that fall into the purview of sacrifice. There are certain things that fall into the purview of stewardship. That means if you have some kind of illumination, but that illumination, Pastor Ego, is not bright enough, you are still in darkness. There's a way you can have your candle or something, but in a very big house, your candle light is nothing. Your candlelight is nothing. I don't know if you are with me now. Your candlelight is nothing. So what Jesus is saying is that we have to be careful. Yes, yesterday you walk in some kind of revelation. But you have to be careful that the light that you are burning with now is not about to go out. The only way to keep yourself on point, regularly on fire, is to continue to draw near to God. So that he can continue to put more illumination. So that you will not operate in darkness. So that you will not be struggling. Yes, yesterday you got something. But today you have to draw near to him. Like David, you need to ask, should I pursue? Will I overtake? Will I recover all? And then God says, go. Don't assume that simply because you did something yesterday, it's going to work today. You have to take heed that your light does not become darkness. There are certain things that can make a man's light to become darkness. There are certain things, there are quite a number of things. Number one, when a man does not have regard for the word of God. When a man does not have regard for the word of God. What does it mean not to have regard for the word of God? It is when you hear the word of God and you forget it. When the Bible says, let them not be forgetful hearers. There are some people who specialize in being, there are people that come to church and the only thing they remember after the service is how they danced. There are people that come to church and they say, oh, thank God today, Pastor allowed us to dance and praise God. Be not a forgetful hearer. That is the word of the Lord. There are people that come to church and the only thing they remember is maybe something that happened. While they were trying to park, two people were talking or maybe even arguing, and the security man was trying to sort them out. They will not remember the Bible verse that was preached that day. they will remember the argument and they will be saying, I know that boy is very proud. Thank God that security man gave it back to him. That was what some people got. I'm telling you why some people's light become darkness. Some people's light become darkness because they only remember God's word when they are in crisis. Now, what I'm saying to you now, I'm not talking to you. I'm just talking. But if the thing affects you, just pick your own quietly. Don't even make noise. Just take it. Okay? I'm telling you why God cannot be mocked. You see, when you see a scripture like, God is not mocked. Don't kid yourself and think he's talking about your neighbor. He's telling you that, I have given you my word, Pastor Ego. This is how I want you to serve me. The scriptures in the book of Exodus, he said, for thou shalt serve the Lord thy God, and he shall bless your bread. Many of us want God to bless our bread without serving God. God is not mocked. You want to serve God anytime it's convenient for you, then God too will take his time to bless you when it's convenient for him. It is just, don't make it look like somebody is wicked. He has written it there in English. You even have it in your language. Well, maybe you are Yoruba or Igbo or whatever. Read it in your language. It's there. For thou shalt serve the Lord. I think it's Exodus 23. For thou shalt serve the Lord thy God, and he shall bless your bread and your water. And what? He will remove, he will take away sickness. That means one of the keys to operating a life of health is to serve God with all your heart. Not because you want somebody to say thank you or well done. You are doing it because you have an understanding. That understanding has produced light. So, I don't understand. I mean, way back, Pastor Ego, we'll go to church and we'll stay the whole day. Nobody complained about nothing. Nobody complained about nothing. It was when we decided to make church user-friendly that we started having all these problems. So we have a lot of people now who they are bearing Christian names like Archangel, Michael, Bishop. They are bearing good Christian names, but in the realm of the spirit, they don't know them. They have given them other names. They tried to change the name of Daniel, but they couldn't change it. They gave them Meshach, Abednego, Daniel answered his name. You can't change the destiny of a man who is a man who is praying. You can't change the destiny of a man that doesn't play with his prayer life. You can't change the destiny of a man who understands the power of the word. You must take it that your light is not converted to darkness. It is a responsibility that God gives to you. You are the one that has that responsibility. So please, next time you decide to relate with God as you like, remember that he has also said that when you serve me, I will bless your bread and I will bless your water. I will bless that which brings freshness into your life. I will bless your job and your business. And I will not allow devourers to come into your business. That's what God is saying. So if somebody has told you that, why are you now expecting something else? Somebody was quoting Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. For God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in high places. So why is everybody not rich? Why is everybody not driving the kind of car they like? Listen to me. The way God defines riches is not the way we define some of these things. Now, let's read. Let me read Colossians 4:17. This one is not actually for pastors. This one is actually for pastors or for people who work in the Lord's vineyard. You're a worker. Or if you consider yourself useful to God, this is for you. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 17. Say to Archippus. This was Paul here. Say to Archippus, take heed. People have lost their ministry because they didn't take it. He said, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you fulfill it. Ministries don't die because people didn't come to the church. Ministries don't die because you are in Mushi when your mates were in Lekki. Ministries die because men don't pay attention. They don't take it. They don't take their ministry seriously. There are people that there are people that if they are angry, they won't sing in the choir again. There are people in churches, and I'm not joking. The pastor begs them. The pastor begs them. I remember way back some years ago, a particular, you know, I won't mention the name of the church. One of my churches in the past. People came late to church, and the pastor rebuked them. And among those that came late was one of the rich men that is tight, was very big. Maybe you are not there, but you have the seed. You are from the generation of those kind of men. So hear me now. If pastor says something you don't like, you will not pay tithe that much so that you will feel it. You are on your own. So this particular pastor rebuked everybody for coming late. That man and his family, they didn't say anything. They kept quiet. The next Sunday, they didn't come to church. Many of the workers did not come. They were angry. Pastor looked at times, and the school has not started. He now called so people they didn't pick. He said, let me go around. So all of them sitting in front of their compound playing. Brother Marcus, what's the problem? He said, nothing. We just decided to stay at home today. This is the devil. This is the devil. Say, since it's like you don't really appreciate us, we just say, let's even rest today. Brother Marcus. It's not like that now. Eh? It's just a, you maybe don't understand. I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to the other people. He's telling the rich man that it's not because of him that he was talking, that he's talking. I said, oh, you mean I'm not the one? I said, okay, let me come to church. They hijacked the pastor. Listen to me. Everybody that is born again has a ministry. If you are born again, you can hear my voice now. That means you are still alive. What God is saying to you, there is something I put in your hands. Take heed to it. That is where I will mark your exam paper from. There are people that focus on what others are doing wrong. I heard somebody say, my ministry is to correct the error in the body of Christ. There's nobody that has that ministry. It's the devil. The devil is the accuser. I'm saying this because some of you, when you hear those scriptures, you say, revelation. Go and pick Papa Deboye's book and read. It will help your life. Go and pick Bishop Oyedepo's book and read. It will help your life. In fact, you can even pick Dr. Olukoya and your life will never be the same. You will be changed. God will change your life. Stop focusing on what others are doing. You do what God asks you to do. Very simple. When you get to heaven, God will not ask you, how many people did you criticize? Give him 3 crowns for criticizing people. The Pastor Adeboy, I see some people online, they accuse Pastor Adeboy. The things God have used that man to do, if they call God now and say, take Adeboy or this person, God will say, take this other one because Baba Adeboy is still useful. At 79, he's still opening churches all over the world. You, the only ministry some people have. Like as I'm talking now, some people don't like it. But this thing is just what Jesus said, though. It's just what Jesus said. You are even angry at the word of God. Say, take heed unto Archip. Tell Archippus, take heed. People lose their ministries and they still have Mike. I'm telling you, ego. People have, God has forgotten about them, but they still have a very big mic. In fact, they just bought a new one. They hang it on the ear. And they are preaching, they are singing. People go to places only because of honorarium. Say, take heed. Shora, pay attention. There's something I gave you. Go and focus on that. Leave the person that is not getting it right. You can thank me later. Because some of the things some people say, they call their ministry, God doesn't even know what that thing is. Because he didn't send them. These are the things we do. And God is, you know, our case is now weak. Because by the time Satan raises accusation against us, we cannot say we didn't do it. In fact, Paul was telling us that if your brother makes a mistake, you who is strong in the spirit of humility should try to restore. Don't go there and be forming like this thing. There were people in those days who were on campus, they were saying, anybody that fornicates, suspension. Anybody that they see, even if they see you in the sisters' house, you've not done anything, suspension. Until they found themselves there. Now, how do we show mercy? Because he was the one insisting that day that the brother must go on suspension. So, Luke 17:3 says, take heed, if your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. This is Jesus. Me, I follow Jesus. So I don't. Some of you are very righteous, but maybe they are looking at me on Facebook now. But look at what Jesus said. He said, take heed. Another version in that scripture says, be on your guard. Be on your guard. What that means is that if you see the sin of your brother or your sister and you are not careful, even you will be overtaken in that sin just because of the way you handled it. You may not have committed that fornication with the person, but there is a way God will look at that matter. You will not escape. The moment God saw that Adam and Eve had sinned against him, ego, what did he do first? He covered their shame. You are not animals. You are not like animals can walk about naked. You are my children. The first thing God did was he shed blood, used the animal skin, covered their naked. That's the first thing God wants to do. That's the first thing. And if we can just follow this thing, sincerely, we will have fewer enemies. All this die. Is the one you caused it. He said, be on your guard. Be careful. Be on your guard. Be cautious. Be on your guard. Don't be too quick to judge. Don't be too quick to make an assessment. Find the truth about a matter before you conclude. He said, if your brother sins, rebuke him. God allows us to rebuke each other. He said, but if he repents, what does he say? Forgive him. 2 John chapter 1 and verse 8. Maybe I should stop here. This message is very tough. 2 John chapter 1 verse 8. Now, after this message, after today's service, I'm going to put this on Telegram and on possibly on YouTube and a few other. But one thing I'm going to do, I'm going to go back to our honor series. I'm going to go back. I did, I think, part 1 to 4, the spirit of honor. And I'm going to post it on our WhatsApp group and maybe on our Telegram group. Please go and listen to it. Go and listen to it. Stop cramming what entertainers are saying. Listen to what your pastor is telling you. Go and this spirit of honor, go and listen to it. It will change your life. I had a chat with somebody recently. This person was abroad. This person lives abroad. The person said that the message on the spirit of honor that you preached changed his life and perspective about so many things. That so many things changed after that series. It's not me. It's just God. So go and before people in London, when they just go and say, carry your pastor, buy me Lamborghini, buy me duplex, and say, don't go to Nigeria again. Stay here and be preaching to us. You people will now be shouting. They are calling me. They are calling me. If you go and listen to this message, the spirit of honor, I'll put it on the group. Go and listen to it again. Look at what verse 8 says, 2 John 1:8. He said, look to yourselves, that we lose not the things that we have worked for. Oh my God. But that we receive what? A full reward. Hi. My brother, go and read that scripture in other versions. 2 John chapter 1 and verse 8. Look to yourself. Check yourself. Keep looking after yourself. So you see, there are things many of us did. Oh my God. I think someone is okay. Please just mute yourself as you come in. Thank you. There are certain things that we have labored for. Some of you have started churches. Some of you have given money for churches to be planted. Some of you have supported the word of God. Some of you have given yourself, your body, you've stressed yourself. And John is now saying to us by the Holy Spirit, look after yourself. So that those things you have labored for, that God is counting for you, that this thing, when this my daughter comes to heaven, we will reward her so that you will not lose it. Don't be the one that labored for something and you are the one still scattering it. Many of us that like fighting on the street, it is because we have not won souls there. If you win a lot of souls in some area, you'll be walking on the main road like an angel. You won't want your leg to touch the ground. Because everybody knows you're a pastor. But when you go to the office, you say, I always like to say my mind. I don't hide anything. I'm a straightforward person. If you give it to me, I give it to you. You know, I wanted this message to be very interesting. But everywhere is quiet. Oh my God. Hey, I didn't even know I was on mute. I think it was just now, yeah. I've been unmuted. Don't worry, I still have a little more. You've not lost too much, don't worry. I will come back and repeat. Oh jeez. I will come back and I will repeat my message. So no stress. You see what Paul was telling us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. He said, therefore, let him that thinks he stand take heed. Those people that are dressing anyhow and saying that God understands. Look at what Paul said. He said, let those that think they are standing. Those that think they can go to club, even though they are not drinking. This scripture is for them. Let him that thinketh he stand. Those that can do what they like, and the Holy Spirit cannot check them. Look how the Bible is saying. Let him that think he stand. If you think righteousness is the license to do what you like, say, let him that think he stand. Let him be careful. Because the road is slippery. It can fall. You cannot do what you like if you are in the kingdom of God. Even Satan will not allow you to do what you like if you are serving him. Satan doesn't like anyhow people. He likes focused people. There's one guy he saw on Instagram, that's where he laughs. Don't laugh like that. He says, celebrate grace. That's where he says, celebrate grace. Maybe you know him or something. I saw him. Very funny guy. So when the scripture says, take heed. Meanwhile, some of the believers who, the only kind of person they listen to is the one that tells them that once saved, forever saved. That once you are born again, you cannot lose your salvation. Okay, the book of Revelations was written to who? Unbelievers. Revelation chapter 21 verse 8, the scripture they gave me when I gave my life to Christ. Say, and God, say, all liars, murderers. No, he said, all fornicators, murderers, ungodly, and all who maketh a lie shall have their part. He didn't say they are not born again. No. The book of Revelation was written to Christians. He said, once saved, forever saved. My brother, there's a reason why they locked the foolish virgins out. There are people convincing themselves as if they are the one that will be opening the door of heaven that day. They are convincing themselves that they are going to make heaven. See, let me tell you, we all pray to live long, but nobody knows how many years we'll be alive. So, you better take this thing very seriously. It is not just enough to say you are not sinning. Are you giving somebody a reason to sin? Come on now. If you heard that one, just type something now and say, I heard you. It's not just to be saying that you are not sinning. Are you making somebody in your office or at home live in offense because of you? I have about 25 points for this part one. But I will round up so that I don't even know, maybe I should have a session where I can take questions, you know. Now look at Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 9. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 9. Only take heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently, so that you will not forget those things which your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, but teach your sons and your sons' sons. Keep your soul diligently. When you refuse to watch some kind of films, it is because you want to keep your soul. When you refuse to go to that your friend's house, it is because you need to keep your soul. If you are married to somebody, or you have a friend, you are not married, but you have a friend who is single, who believes that she must stay her mind. Even if she's married, she has to stay her mind. She doesn't give a damn. She believes in freedom of speech and feminism. And you keep going to that kind of a person. The Bible says, keep your soul. What is in the soul? You have your imagination. Protect your mind from the things it imagines, the kind of pictures that play there. Your thoughts. When the scripture says, keep your soul, it's talking about the kind of thoughts that you allow. Some people will look at you and it's as if thriller should just run through you. But they are smiling. There are some of us, when we are angry with you, you will see it in the face. But there are some people, they are very blessed. When they are planning to kill you, oh my God, they will be smiling. They will be smiling. They will even be playing with you. Keep your soul. They are silent killers. Yes. They are silent killers. They will even be chatting you and texting you. Meanwhile, they are chatting with another of your friends, destroying your name and your character. If you get a promotion, it's with force, they will tell you by force, congratulations. So you will not say, I didn't greet you. Protect the kind of thoughts. The Bible says we must bring every thought, Pastor Ego, into obedience. That means if I'm thinking something, I need to take it captive and bring it into obedience. Is this thing I'm thinking the way Jesus would allow? He said, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever. He said, think on these things. Don't be thinking on things that make one become a spiritual agbero. There are things people do. You become a spiritual thug. God cannot use you in the office. He cannot bring you home. Then they leave you on the street. Don't be a spiritual agbero. Everything, fire, fire, fire. Just calm down. Everybody cannot always be wrong. Protect your soul. The kind of things you imagine, the kind of things you think, the kind of emotions you allow yourself, the kinds of decisions you make. You know this boy will not amount to anything, and you keep going to his house. Protect your heart. Protect your soul. Let me just give you one more tonic. One more tonic, and we share the grace. This is a good time to give an offering. This kind of message is very blessed. You should just empty your account and give an offering, you know, to appreciate God for this kind of good message. This was the kind of message our fathers were hearing in those days. And people prefer to give jobs to Christians than to unbelievers. They interviewed somebody. Why should we employ you? Say, I'm a Christian. Can you imagine? If not that they are following that person from home, why will you go to an interview? Why should we employ you? You said, because I'm a Christian. And so what? Am I a Muslim? Are we selling Bible here? Why are you you see some people say, Pastor, I don't know why they didn't take me. They are following you. Meanwhile, Pastor is at home. Ha, Baba, do it for your daughter. The girl went to the boy went to the interview and said they must employ him because he's a Christian. Can you imagine? They are followers of people. Meanwhile, we took some time, some few weeks ago, to explain how to answer interview questions, go to your LinkedIn. Some people have not gone there. They are still praying, Baba, do it. Baba, do it. Baba. And God said, my son, I will not do it. Because we told you to go to LinkedIn, you refuse. We told you to study, you refuse. Always watching Netflix. Meanwhile, you don't even know the question they are going to say, why should we employ you? You say because I'm a Christian. You're wrong. You should be an Songo. Go and sit down. Now, let me tell you one other thing. And this one now, I know you people are laughing. So I just gave you that one to make you laugh. But the word of God is disabled. Matthew 6:1 is the final one. We'll come back. If you like this message and you give me nice vibe, I will give you another 10 or 15. Then I'll make it very sweet. So you people will be happy. Because people like sweet, sweet things. Even my children, if you give them things that are bitter, they don't take it. Take heed that you do not do your harms before men. Jesus is giving a warning here, Pastor Ego. This is how God thinks. So please, excuse me. Everything I'm saying now is how God thinks. It's not Jesus trying to be like Confucius or Buddha. Jesus is telling us this is how Baba in heaven thinks. So if you follow what Jesus says, you will be okay. I'm telling you, I went somewhere to pray for a family, Pastor Ego. When I got there, I told the boy that was having like some kind of issues. I said, you will fast. I said, we are going to fast for 7 days. And I told the mom, I said, you too, you will fast. We want to know who is behind this boy's problem. So all of us were going to fast because I'm even suspecting you, this woman. So all of us are. She now said, let me beg him, oh. Let me beg him to fast too. I said, madam, this is no matter of begging. If we fast and he does not fast, the situation stays. It's not the one that pastor will be somewhere. I didn't charge you. If salvation is free. But this fasting, no. We go do one. I say, I'm not doing those ones that I'll be fasting and doing with you. You're at home, sleeping. And then I say, Pastor, hope you are praying for me. I'm not praying. I'm sleeping. The way you are sleeping is the way me too, I'm sleeping. Sincerely, I didn't even plan to be this funny today. Take it that you do not your arms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you will not have reward, the reward of your of my Father which is in heaven. So just because, please, let me just explain this. Anyhow you do it, do not let anybody who does not have any business knowing about the seed you sow, the gift you gave, keep it private. Jesus said, the moment a third eye knows, over. That's what Jesus said, though. Especially when you do it because you want to have some kind of recognition or favor. There are people in our former churches, when they donate chairs, they will now say donated by the family of Ezenwata. Benga Ezenwata. Or they will say, Igotome Mukoro family, third generation. They will put different kind of things. So when you are sitting on the chair, you will know those who are giving in this church and not those who are just making noise. In our church, it used to be like, some of you remember your church now. There was something that made you come to Harvest World. Now, did you just show up? Somebody wrote from the family of Benga. Igotome, third generation. That means it's not even the first or second. This is their grandchildren now that is buying chair in church. That they are faithful. He said, do not give your do your harms before men. Do not do it. So when you follow all these things, you find yourself in a place where God can actually bless you. Obeying the things I've shared with you now. Go back and read all those scriptures. And please, for Christ's sake, I want to appeal. Just go to my Facebook page and share this message. Just share so many people can see it, you know. Because people are praying, Father, do it. Father, God say, open my Bible and read. I wrote this book thousands of years ago. If people are not reading it, you are just shouting fire, fire. If you can stop talking, this your miracle will come. Some people are talking, they talk away the miracle. The Lord will bless your heart. Listen to me. Everything that Jesus said and every scripture I've read for us is for our benefit. God did not leave the Bible in my hand. He did not leave it in the hand of any pastor. He compiled it himself so that when anybody follows it, you will get the same result. And I want to encourage you. Go back and read this scripture. If you have any questions, send it to me on WhatsApp or send me a text. I will be happy to explain some of the things that I have said. But I can guarantee you, the word of God will never fall to the ground without germinating or producing result. And it will never fall in vain. He said, "For there it shall be that the word that I have spoken out of my mouth shall not return to me void, but shall accomplish the purpose for which I have sent it." So the Spirit of God says, if you will sow the right seeds with your words, if you will sow the right seeds with your words, and you will be consistent in those words. He said, "Then I will cause my word to be fulfilled. I will cause your harvest to come speedily. And my word will not fail, because my word is sure, saith the Lord." Father, I pray for every heart that has listened tonight and will receive grace. For everyone and those who will yet hear these words, to be established in the word of God and in the will of God. That from today we will be careful how we speak, and we'll be careful how we hear, and we'll be careful the things we allow in our hearts. And that these things will produce rest and peace of mind in everything that surrounds us and that pertains to us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen.